We're so glad you came with all the chaos, confusion and announcements. This is our time to worship. We're not going to sing everything because that would be crazy for you. We are going to have music that comes from recordings. But we wanted to know that it's a special time for each of us. Let's just take a brief moment. Father, thank you for this morning, but thank you for its meaning too. As we walk down the path to Bethlehem and see the Christ child once again, help us to sense your presence. Help us to feel that we're part of this great Christmas story. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever before time began, God had a plan. He had a purpose. He wanted to win back a lost world to himself. And the Christmas story is part, just part, of that incredible plan. And one of the things I want you to remember is as the story unfolds, you're a participant. Let me go back a moment. There is a song, it's Light of the World. And I picked this up in the States a number of years ago. And it's one that I use in prayer time and time again. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. And you're altogether wonderful. That is you and I. And God breaks through into our world. And out of the darkness that shrouded the world, God sent a very special message through men and women, but particularly men, with this gift of being the prophet. Not the priest, but the prophet. The one who would look ahead. God would give a message to. And then to the darkness of our world, God sent some special men. Here we're going to be three of us together.
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Days were desperate for Isaiah, but that was his tomorrow. And then you have Micah. And Micah struggled with so many things. And then this was the picture God gave him.
And you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
How'd you get that? Well, you get the next one. And here's Daniel. Those first six chapters have taken you through all the rigors and the experiences and the encounters. Chapter 6, he's been in the lion's den and the king has walked up and down and then shouts, Daniel, Daniel. And Daniel answers. And God has protected him in the den through the night. And the king decrees that there is no God like Daniel's God. And in that very next chapter 7, Daniel, as the prophet, sees the Messiah, Christ, in the distance and says he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. Here's the picture that's happening in front of him. And all peoples and nations and men of every language worshipped him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And what about his kingdom? Because Daniel had seen a vision, and he would relate it to the king, how in that statue the feet of clay and of iron would shatter the world as we knew it there and then. And the kingdoms would be disrupted, and there would be chaos and confusion. So what about the kingdom of God, of this Messiah, and his kingdom? His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. We want you to listen to O Little Town of Bethlehem. You can sing behind your mask. John is going to play for us. But how we're going to do it is this, because this is a great mystery. This is how you explain the humanity and the sovereignty and the power and the deity of the Lord Jesus. And I did ask you last week to remember Silesia's words. If he were born 1,000 times, despair, O man, until he's born in you. Thank you, John. Of the incarnation. It's one of the 3:16s, if you look up 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. You know, that Christ would come here. And God God invites us all the way through those gospel accounts for us to explore this. It's unfathomable in one way or in one sense, but we explore it together. And remember how Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And there's no mystery about the invitation to call on him. And here it is. Here it is. We may not understand all of it, but we understand his love. And we three are going to take that last verse because we have made it personal. And we invite you, right where you are, through that muffled mask and so on, to join us with this. Thank you, Ruth.
O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the angels singing, yes, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
So Joseph discovers what it's all about.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
You can sit down, guys.
Holy.
patriarchy, and their words are just a little bit different to ours. We were singing these. Do you know, every move that Jesus made, every miracle he performed, every word he spoke, was for one purpose only, of reconciling a broken world to the living, compassionate, almighty God. We want to do something now. There's Valerie. It's more than 40 years that she has sung for me. She was far away, had no idea of the gospel. And we were having a wonderful period of time in the church of many coming to know Christ the Savior. And she's one of them. And she said, I don't have much. I have my voice. She belonged to a choir. She had upper choir here too. We did cantatas at Christmas. It's amazing. But she had one song in particular, that personified for her what she was offering. It would be too emotional for me to listen to her singing here this morning. So I've asked John to play it. It's her song, because she said, the drummer boy, she sang it year after year for me. The drummer boy bought his drum, and I bought my voice. Here is the drummer boy.
Come, they told me, our newborn king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king. This is to honor him. When we come, baby Jesus, I am a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. But may I play for you on my drum? The Mother Mary nodded, the ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. Then he smiled at me. Me and my drum.
And she sang for him. That's the testimony of this lady lost to us this year. But there's a second thing. When we couldn't muster a choir anymore, Three guys stood up. We're not experts. We're just three men who know the Savior. And we found a song along with Valerie. And so for, I think, the last 5 years, we have sung it together. I don't think I'll be out here for another Christmas. So it's my last. Listen to this.
It was on a starry night, when the hills were bright, earth lay sleeping, sleeping calm and still. Then in a cattle shed, in a manger bed, a boy was born. Sang for him, the bells of heaven rang for him, for the boy was born, King of all the world. And all the angels sang for him, the bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born. Hearts believed again, for the peace of men, for the boy was born, King of all the world. And all the angels sang for him, the bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born. Bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born,
King of all the world.
Gently to yourself.
And all the angels sang for him.
Come on.
The bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born.
Angels sang for him,
the bells of heaven rang for him, for the boy was born,
King of all the world.
Thank you, guys. It was one incredible moment, and the whole world changed. One unbelievable moment that would alter the lives of every one of us. So what did Jesus do? Well, he swapped the spotless glory of heaven for that dirty, grimy stable. He went from commanding angels to sleeping in the straw, from holding the stars in place to clutching with a hooked finger Mary's hand. And the hands that held the universe in place would be pierced with the soldiers' nails. And why? Because that is what love does. And your place in heaven was more important than anything else. So he gave up his, so you would have yours.
Thank you.
no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh.
Be near me, Lord Jesus. Come on.
I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
There was a special word for the shepherds. We are going to focus that in the next few moments. But what we want you to do is just listen to the scripture. Thank you, guys.
That night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby, watching their sheep. An angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and suddenly they became very frightened.
The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I am bringing you some good news. It will be a joy to all people. Today, your Saviour was born in David's town. He is Christ, the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding box."
Then a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel. All the angels were praising God and saying,
"Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace to the people who please God."
Then the angels left the shepherds and went back to heaven. And the shepherds said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened." So the shepherds went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the feeding box.
It didn't seem right if we never sang the traditional carol. So, behind your mask, you join us.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. "Fear not," said he, "for mighty dread hath seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly round
wrapped in swaddling bands, and in a manger lay. Thus spake the seraph, and forthwith appeared a shining throng of angels praising God, who thus addressed their joyful song. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men begin and never cease.
So how did it finish? We'd like you to listen out.
How did it finish? You know, we have performed many nativity plays over the years. Different ways of doing that. Traditional nativity plays. We've had a few more modern, abstract approaches, particularly with the youth group in years gone by. But you can always guarantee, when it comes to a nativity play, that the children's volume in the rehearsals will be halved on the day of performance. I'm looking at Linda from schools. This is how it works, isn't it? There are certain rules that tend to work out in a nativity. As one wise Sunday school teacher reminded me, she said, just remember when things go wrong, the audience doesn't have the script that you have to follow. You just keep on carrying on. Whatever is happening, the children are out of place, a line is missed, or something else is said. However, hopefully, it finishes with the visit of the Magi, the wise men. If you're watching a nativity and you see the wise men coming on, you know it's nearly finished. As they present their gifts, as the wise men worship. It's the tableau scene, isn't it? The Christmas tableau scene, the wise men there presenting their gifts. We know from the Bible account that they first went to Herod, having followed the star. And they asked the question, where is the one born King of the Jews? Where is the one born King of the Jews? And all four Gospels answer that question by fast-forwarding over 30 years, when written on a sign above Jesus' head upon the cross were the words, "This is the King of the Jews." Where is the King of the Jews? This is the King of the Jews. But things, of course, didn't finish at Calvary. We're asking the question, how did it finish? It certainly did not finish at Calvary. Luke, in his gospel, uses words to link the beginning and the end of the story, to make his readers link the two together. An example of this is in his use of the words wrapped and laid. Because, as you know, in the Christmas story, Jesus was wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. It was a sign to the shepherds that this is the Christ, this unusual sign, this incredible sign. He's the Christ. But fast forward again 30 years or so, and this fully grown adult body is wrapped in a burial cloth and laid in a tomb, wrapped and buried in birth, wrapped and buried in death. And so there in the tomb. But that's again not where the story finishes. That's not the finish. Now, Christmas is a time for nostalgia, isn't it? And last week, David was telling us a little bit of how he's from the generation that hung up their socks. Is that right? With an orange. Was it a sixpence? And a sixpence. I'm not from that generation. I'm from the generation of pillowcases of presents. So obviously, things had moved on a little bit. Slightly bigger things. We still actually did have an orange or a satsuma thrown in there as well. But of all the presents I received, and there were many in my childhood, one sticks in my mind. as I am nostalgic and think back over Christmas. What was it? What could it be? Well, it was the World Cup Sabutio game. You know that flick-to-kick game as a child? I always wanted one of those. And it must have been when I was about 12, thinking back, that I actually got one of those for Christmas. But when I opened it, I did so with a little shame, for I had discovered it under my parents' bed previously. And I knew it was there, and worse than that, I kept going back every day or so and having another look, taking the lid off, seeing what was inside. You know, I didn't quite play the game, but and then I got caught by the surprise appearance of my mum at her bedroom door. So I opened the present, as I say, with a touch of shame. It was a great present. It's a present I always remember. But I'd spoiled things. But her appearance, a surprise appearance, is something I'll never forget. As you've seen already, as we've been telling the Christmas story has a number of surprise appearances by angels making known God's purposes in his plan of salvation. They didn't come to make us guilty. They came to set us free from our guilt and sin. You know, in later reflections on Jesus coming into the world, the Apostle Paul and then the Apostle Peter reflect in their letters about it. And in the Authorized Version of the Bible, it speaks of Jesus coming into the world as him being made manifest. That's the old way of... He appeared, says the New International Version. He appeared, but he was made manifest. And that's a much stronger word, because to be made manifest comes from a root which is about shining, uncovering, revealing. He was made manifest. The light shone into the darkness. You know, the purity, holiness, the beauty of God revealed to man. He was made manifest, shining in all his glory. He came to fulfill that heavenly mission to rescue us. And so let me just read a couple of verses from the Apostle John. He tells us that Jesus, he appeared so that he might take away our sins. He was made manifest. He shone his light into this dark world that he might take away our sins. And a little later on, he says, the reason the Son of God appeared, was made manifest, was to destroy the devil's works. To take away sins, to be a sacrifice for sin, is why he came. To destroy the devil's work as a conqueror over sin and death. And that's why the story doesn't just go to the cross or just go to the tomb. It goes beyond. We have a resurrected, glorified, risen, ascended Lord. The light has shone in the darkness and has overcome that darkness. The Apostle Paul tells us the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God for you, for me, to rescue us is there in Jesus. And he tells us that a crown of righteousness awaits for all who've longed for his appearing. He shall appear to reign, and we shall reign with him if we are his children, children of light, those who follow him. That is how it will finish. How did it finish? Well, the nativity finishes with wise men bowing down, presenting their gifts. If you're a wise man or a wise woman here this morning, as you wait for his appearing, you will be doing exactly the same, giving him your all, giving him your gifts, giving him your life. We've heard that tribute, touching tribute to Valerie. in what she did amongst us, let's do the same amongst one another. The wise man this Christmas, the wise woman, gives to our Lord what we have, acknowledges him as the Christ, our Lord and our King. That's how it is for us now, and it will finish when he returns in his glory. So let's hear of these gifts of the wise men, and let's remind ourselves of the significance of the Lord Jesus coming to us.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Born a king on Bethlehem plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign.
Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God Most High.
Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone cold tomb.
Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Heaven sings Alleluia, Alleluia, the earth replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
And so it's time to bring this to a finish. It's been limited in the way you could participate. But our great hope is that as we have shared together, this has been your Christmas special time. And we bid you, as you go on your way, I have to announce to you that there will be no further activities in the building until the 10th of January, the second week of January. And you will have distributed a leaflet. You can get it on the WhatsApp too. But I've set together something for Sunday the 3rd of January. Some will take it away with them now. Others will be delivering that. It's a little bit early, but it's based on a psalm. And I've just called it, Keep Looking to God. Just keep looking to God. We had been talking together. We've been preparing a lot of things, and we were, this is before yesterday, and trying to work how we would fit this morning with you on Christmas Day. And we made a decision. And the pain, this cancer has gone all through my body. The pain sometimes is so intense. And I just about made it to the bedroom, and I have a book of Psalms, and I wanted, they're on my bed, I've been reading them. And I pick it up, the Psalms, and in two sections. I have up to Psalm 80, and then 80 to the end, and so on. And this one was the second book. And I'm going to take it so I can go and sit and read. And in my spirit, overwhelmingly, was you have to read Psalm 114. It's part of the Hallel. It's only a small one. It's a record of poetic, wonderful poetic language of the Exodus, the deliverance, and the journey to the Promised Land. If you've been reading your Bible plan today, you've read the big Hallel, the one that every verse says how the Lord is good to us all and so on. And that's leading you almost to the end of the Psalms. And I was reading it this morning. And you know, I came across a verse that I had marked in 2012. And I read it again. And it simply said, I'm always with you. I'm always with you. Keep looking to God. And we wanted to tell you, as pastors and leaders of the church, keep looking, because he's always with you. And here I've set out how many times you'll do that, how many places, and how many blessings you'll have when you keep looking to God, no matter what's going on out there. Keep looking to God. Allow me to pray for you. Father, it's been our privilege, the three men and the others who helped us with the technology and the piano, it's been our privilege to serve you this morning and to serve your people. Now bless them as they go on their way. And whatever these next days hold for us, however we spend Christmas Day, in a solitary place or what, it matters not, because you're going to be with us. So the Lord bless you, dear people. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. And the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you through this Christmas period and give you every favor and blessing poured upon your heart, your life, and your home, so that you will know he is with you. I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.